Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Golf Time Midwest Magazine. If you haven't seen it in your mailbox with your copy of the 2023 Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, you can find it on Wisconsin.Golf by following the link on the right side of our main page. It will take you to the digital version of the magazine, Golf Time Midwest Magazine, where you will find directions on how to enter our great golf story contest. The basics of the contest are this: no more than 350 words. It has to be funny, fantastic, or of human interest. The lucky winner will be the most popular person around. That's because he or she will win a weekend getaway for six to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. So go to our website at wisconsin.golf, or for more details, you can check out our sister website, golftimemag.com, where you can enter and write your 350-word or less essay for our great golf story contest. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, it is kind of moving day for us. Gary D'Amato about to jump in the car tomorrow on Sunday as we record this and head down to Augusta National. I'll be moving a daughter across country later in the week. And I don't know, is the Masters available on radio, Gary? I may have to have my app up and have featured holes on or something. But somehow, some way, this time of year, first weekend, first full weekend in April coming up, we'll be able to see and listen to the Masters. And that means, despite the weather outside, spring is near.
Yeah, Rob, it's my favorite week of the year. I'm sure it's a lot of golfers could say the same. I can't wait to get down there and see the course again. And I know that you're in the car basically most of the week, or?
Yeah, most of the week from Thursday on. So from the first round on. I didn't plan that right, did I?
Ah, okay.
But it's Easter.
Yeah, week. You'll have to download that app, that Masters app.
It's an Easter weekend Masters. That caught me when someone mentioned that the other day. I didn't put two and two together, and you know, we haven't had that very often, have we?
No, I think it's probably like maybe once every 5 or 6 years it happens to fall on Easter Sunday, the final round. Yeah, and this is one of them. So very special day for sure, no doubt.
Well, we'll talk about the Masters. We'll talk about the Augusta National Women's Amateur, the Drive, Chip, and Putt Contest, and all that here in a few minutes. But we got to start first with the weather because as I was updating the course openings list yesterday, Gary, I thought Horicon Hills summed it up best. Closed on Saturday. Closed on Friday, closed on Saturday, Sunday, a question mark. And based on some of the alerts I was getting on my phone last night, I think the biggest question mark is where storms hit and what form they took. I saw snow on the ground with our friends up at Trempealeau Mountain, which opened and stayed open north of La Crosse, but they were going to wait until the temperatures warmed this afternoon. So they were going to be only shut down for half a day, which I found surprising. But I heard talk of blizzards up north, and then really nasty weather in terms of tornadoes to the south, cutting through some parts of southern Wisconsin. So I'm not sure what we've all woken up to. I think we're still kind of sorting that out. But it just goes to show you we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, it's all over the place. The storm was really a destructive one. The winds even at my house, Rob, were just horrendous last night on Friday night. And I know like north central Illinois around the Rockford area really got hit hard. A couple of tornadoes. I know a movie theater roof collapsed and a bunch of people were hurt. Yeah. And then some, tornadoes in throughout southern Wisconsin too. So it was a rough couple of days of weather, and today's miserable Saturday here at the Caledonia home office. I think it's about 38 degrees and overcast, and it snowed a little bit this morning. But then, from here on out, I just called up weather.com and looks like we're going to have a bunch of days in a row in the 50s. So that's going to be welcome. I'll be gone, but I'll be in warmer weather than that, Rob, but 50s is always good. We'll take it.
It is. And, as we look at the course openings, Gary, yesterday, Milwaukee County heralded its first course opening, Lincoln Park. I guess something's better than nothing, right, when it comes to the county courses. But I just don't remember. I was thinking about it, before, we started up the podcast. I just don't remember it taking so long for,
like, for example, Milwaukee County, they've got a collection of almost a dozen courses between the executive courses all the way up to Brown Deer Park. I just don't remember taking this long for so many in a collection of courses to open. And even in, you know, Racine, Kenosha, you know, a few opened, but then they closed again, and some just aren't ready to open. And to get Lincoln Park open only, it says, I mean, we're really creeping out of this winter. It looks as though Whitnall Park will open also on Sunday, and Lincoln, which I think was to have opened today, is it now pushed back to tomorrow as well. So it really is a slow opener this year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, typically, you know, a bunch of courses are open at least in the second half of March, and the county courses typically open in sometime in March too, most of them anyway. But, you know, we had those roughly 10-inch snowfalls, you know, about 8 or 10 days apart there in March. And March was I think the snowiest March, at least in Milwaukee at the airport, since 1965. So, yeah, we had a ton of snow. So that's what's delaying it. And I'll tell you what, Rob, my son was telling me he plays in a Monday league and they start this Monday. And he said it is going to be miserable just because of the mud. It's been raining. It's, you know, all the snow melt and everything. Of course, they're going to be really soggy for a while.
I should mention too that it doesn't look like we'll be playing golf anytime soon in the Green Bay area. Last night, Gary just called up on Twitter some snowfall totals from Channel 26 in Green Bay. Wittenberg, 12.3 inches. Antigo, 10 inches. Fremont, a foot of snow. Iola, 9 inches.
Wow.
Suamico, which is near Green Bay, really near Green Bay, 9 inches. So, you know, they got hit pretty hard. I'm seeing in towards western Wisconsin, Neillsville with 13 inches. Eau Claire, 9.9, La Crosse, 9.2. So it's kind of strange. It didn't look to be that bad in Trempealeau, which is really, you know, kind of between La Crosse and Eau Claire, if my geography is correct, in the Cooley region. Dorchester, not far from Wausau, 11 inches of snow. Warrens, popular camping spot for a lot of people, 9 inches of snow. In Aliva, up towards Eau Claire, 10 inches. So nobody was spared. Wausau, 10 inches. Ashwaubenon, this is not right, Gary. I mean, well, this is, I'm looking now, that's from February, but I'm looking at, and these are older. I'm sorry, I looked at something that wasn't, I called up Twitter in the latest, Gary, and it wasn't the latest, but there was snow up there. And so let's scratch that. Forget those snowfall totals. That's old news. But there was snow and there was rain. And then there was a lot of freezing rain. So, I mean, we're getting hit with just about everything. It would be nice to start a podcast and not have to talk about this. And we're not going to do another podcast till the Monday after the Masters. We'll see if that's when we start talking about it. We can maybe talk about weather then, but then at the end of the week, next week, if we aren't to something better than this, I mean, my goodness, this is really not good.
No, and, you know, I'm looking at the extended too for – at least into the middle of April, there's not a 60 degree day until April 15th. And that's Milwaukee's weather. So, you know, it's in the 50s that whole time with one or two days in the 40s. So it's not great. I mean, typically we've had, I remember the Brewers Easter Sunday they had the 75 degree day when that was years ago, when they had the big winning streak going. Typically by now we've got at least one or two days, at least that hit 70. So, or at least by the middle of April anyway. So it's not a good start to the golf season, but hopefully we'll make up with great weather in June, July, August.
And here are some snow reports from 2 hours ago. Rice Lake, 8 inches, Bloomer, 8 inches, Menominee, 5.3, Eau Claire, Altoona, 2 to 3. So not as bad as last week, but you go north of there and it was really a heavy dose. And I think through Minnesota, they got hit pretty hard. Ladysmith with 15 inches, Hudson 13. It'll melt, but it's not going to melt soon enough. And by the same token, Gary, as long as you can get away and get to Augusta, and as long as golf fans have a TV set for this weekend, for next weekend, we're going to be able to see an abundance of golf coverage from the first major of the year. Let's start first with the actual Masters and the component to it, Gary, where for the first time in a long time, all facets of golf will be convening, including guys from the LIV Tour. I guess right now, this is what, you know, the first major of the year allows us to see is guys that we haven't heard from, unless I don't know if you've got your TV tuned to the CW for Live Orlando this weekend. I don't, but
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is you know, we get to see what Phil Mickelson looks like and whether Bryson DeChambeau can still hit a golf ball 380 yards. I mean, that and we may not see that again for a while.
Well, we've got 18 Live guys who are playing in the Masters, six former Masters champions who have gone over to Live. And, you know, Rob, I have a hard time believing that those guys are going to be real competitive. I mean, Dustin Johnson, you know, past Masters champion and one of the best players in the world, but he's only played eight rounds of golf this whole year so far. Competitive rounds, tournament rounds.
Yeah.
And I say that, you know, I say that with a grain of salt because the tournament rounds are in Live. So I don't know. Maybe Cam Smith, maybe he's one guy you'd pick to be on a leaderboard, but I look at the guys on that tour and it's hard to believe that the money of them are going to be in contention. They just haven't played enough golf.
Well, I think that's what's, the sub story that I'm most looking forward to seeing is really where they're at with their games, because if they can't compete well here, if they can't compete well, I believe, have we determined whether the USGA is going to allow these guys into the US Open? I think they are, right?
I think they are, yes.
So, I mean, and then, and then it's up to the RNA, and I think they probably have to, because I don't believe that lawsuit's been settled. So there might be three opportunities at the start of the year. I'm not sure what the PGA Championship will hold for those guys, you know, where we get to see them. And if they don't make hay in those, world ranking points they're not getting world ranking points on Live yet. And unless they finish high in the Masters, they're not going to get exempts, you know, or our past champions. I mean, we're not going to see them at Augusta next year, potentially, because there's a lot of guys playing well on the regular tour. And I don't want to say they've been replaced, but it feels like the further out we go with this, the less relevant those guys that the PGA Tour, quote unquote, lost are becoming.
And Liv is in Orlando right now, right? This weekend. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine that's great prep for coming to the Masters. Either you want to take the week off or you want to play in a highly competitive event. You want to play in the Valero Texas Open if you're to prep for the Masters, or, you know, a lot of guys take the week off and work on their games at their home clubs, or they find, you know, greens that are rolling 15 on the stimp meter and practice on those. I just can't imagine that those guys from Liv are going to show up at Augusta National ready to play. On the other hand, they're going to be highly motivated, Rob, to prove something, that that they haven't lost anything, that they're still great players, and they'll want to take it to the PGA Tour guys a little bit. So that's another story. But so it's going to be really interesting to see what those 18 guys do.
So right now in the round two of the Live event in Orlando, remember it's three round tournaments, shotgun starts, Brooks Koepka is currently 11 under. He's worked on a 5-under round today, and he is through 14 holes with a two-shot lead over D. Lee. Who's D. Lee?
Danny Lee, probably, right? He won Danny earlier Lee. This All year right. on that tour. Yeah.
And Sebastian Munoz and Richard Bland at 8-under. Miko Pereira, Jason Kokrad at 7. Patrick Reed at 7. Patrick Reed's probably a guy out of that group, Gary, who will really, relishes rising to the occasion when the chips are stacked against him.
Yeah. The other day I was talking with, I had lunch with Joe Stadler, our friend, the executive director of the WPGA section. And we were talking about Phil and Joe. We both kind of agreed that Phil Mickelson could miss the cut by 6 shots, or he could be in contention on Sunday. You just never know with him. He rises to the occasion at Augusta National, but really, he's really done nothing since he won, at Kiowa, won the PGA Championship there. He hasn't really played very well. He hasn't played often. So I know he's in shape. I know he's lost a lot of weight and he looks great, but I have no idea where his game is.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. Let's talk about the guys who we do expect to see a lot of. And you can start with, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, all those guys that have been kind of trading, the top spot, in the world rankings, like it's a hot potato. I mean, there's no question, Gary, they're going to be prepared, because with the elevated events that have felt like quasi major championships, I think this will not be anything too foreign to them. and they will not, I mean, except for the live guys that might get into the mix, you know, there isn't much already this season they haven't seen.
No, those three guys, Scheffler, McIlroy, and Rahm, I mean, I'll take those three. You can have the field, Rob. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
I think one of those three guys is going to win it. The odds certainly would suggest it. Their form would suggest it. Their history would suggest it. So, those three guys against the field, I think, is a pretty good bet.
Well, and because you look at the guys right behind them, Patrick Cantlay. We haven't heard a ton from Patrick Cantlay this year. He's been in contention, but he hasn't. I don't believe he has won on tour. Cameron Smith, you mentioned, live golfer, who still managed to hold down the number five spot in the world rankings. Max Homa might be a guy in my field, Gary, that I would like to ride to into that mix. I think he might be due, might be his time. But then you look beyond that: Xander Schauffele, Will Zalatoris, Victor Hovland, Sam Burns, and then Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau. A lot of inconsistency in that group, but if they show up for four rounds at Augusta National, we know that guys like Jordan Spieth, who's even further down the list, can certainly be a factor. It's just a matter of putting it all together. But I think that's the great thing about the elevated events. We've seen a number of guys rise to that occasion that we haven't expected, and golf continues to generate its own new names.
Another guy to watch is Cameron Young. Rob, who's been in contention, hasn't won yet, but I was in on a conference call, an ESPN conference call with Andy North and Curtis Strange last week, and they brought up Cameron Young, and they both, Curtis and Andy, were singing his praises. And Andy said he thinks he's the next Scottie Scheffler. In fact, saying that, he hasn't won yet, but they love his swing. They love the way he plays. They love his aggressiveness. And he said, once he wins, he might be like a Scotty who, wins six times in 25 starts. They both really were high on his talent. So I think there's another guy who bears watching.
What are you most looking forward to heading down there, Gary, in terms of, whether it's the, just all these, different storylines that weren't there when you were covering the Masters 3-4 years ago before the advent of LIV. This is always the lid lifter in terms of, I think, launching the meat of the PGA Tour season. There's got to be something out of the Masters that's going to be foreshadowing for what to expect during a Ryder Cup year and just a year with a lot of eyeballs on the game of golf.
Yeah, well, one guy we haven't even mentioned is Tiger Woods, Rob. I'm really looking forward to seeing where he is. All accounts, he's a little better physically than he was maybe when we saw him last year. He played in L.A. earlier this year and played okay. But, you bet every dollar you have that he's been working extremely hard on his game the last few weeks. And which Tiger is going to show up? The one who's going to, barely make the cut and limp his way around on the weekend? Or could he get in contention again? A lot of people would poo-poo that, but I never put anything past that guy, especially at that place.
Is there anybody else that maybe has been flying under the radar in your mind that, we could expect to look for at Augusta National?
Well, we mentioned him already, but Cam Smith, I think, British Open champion, that guy's played phenomenal the last year or so. And he would think, although he hasn't played competitively and except for live tour stuff, and I don't know how competitive that really is, but that guy's got a ton of game, Rob, and I think he's going to come in extremely hungry to prove himself at Augusta National. He's had a couple good Masters, high finishes, obviously, and he's one guy I think that that could really make some noise.
T3 a year ago, and you mentioned his win at the Open Championship. He also later in the year won the Fortinet Australian PGA Championship, but in 2023, his only world golf ranking points event has been the Saudi International, where he missed the cut. And rust may be something to look for there. That'll be certainly out of all those live guys. And you wonder whether I'll be interested to see whether, after seeing Brooks Koepka's name high on a leaderboard this week, whether there's any carryover to next week. So that will be interesting. Any rituals, anything else that outside the golf that you're looking forward to? I think we should also mention that you'll be a busy man because you've got the Golf Writers Association of America dinner and awards that we're looking forward to. And you are the man this year as the president of that association.
Well, it's going to be a busy first 3 days, Monday through Wednesday, for me, Rob. You know, we've got a board meeting on Monday where, unless there's a coup or unless, you know, someone doesn't want me to be president, which is entirely possible, I'll be president of the Gulf Writers Association starting Monday. It's a 2-year term. And then we have a general meeting on Wednesday morning at Augusta National. And then we have our dinner on Wednesday night. And I have a big role in that. I'm, you know, accepting the Hogan Award for Stricker, and I have to give the opening remarks. And I'm told there's, Rob, there's a member of the royal family who is attending the dinner, and I have to introduce him. I don't have his name. It's not Prince Harry.
Wow.
So I'm going to be nervous. It's going to be a big night for me. And yeah, I actually can't wait to get to Thursday and just start covering tournament golf and forget about all the other stuff, put that behind me.
Well, that will be something. We're going to have a lot to talk about. You can look for the next Talking.Golf podcast on Monday, a week from this coming Monday after the Masters. So April 10th is when we'll record it. And hopefully Gary will be en route back. Hopefully I'll be back here in Arizona. And we can look back on that. But before the Masters even gets underway, we're currently, as we record the podcast here on a Saturday, looking at a playoff at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. They had weather issues down there as well today. Rose Zhang out of Stanford University she had a big lead going into the day, got off to a really rough start, but then settled down after the delay. However, is going to a playoff. And so I know how much you love playoffs, Gary, but this Augusta National Women's Amateur has been a home run. And I just, you know, really been captivated. They showed, you know, great coverage of the first two rounds over at, is it Champions Gate, the other club that hosts the first two rounds. And I just think this thing continues to grow in stature. And a weekend where the women's NCAA championship is just totally moving the needle like it never has. It's been a great weekend for women's athletics, women's sports in general, with what we're seeing both on the golf course and the basketball court.
Yeah, you know, shame on me, Rob. I haven't watched a minute of the ANWHA yet. And I know it's, I know they had the weather delay and they're playing right now. Hopefully I'm going to be able to see the end of it, but I feel bad that I haven't been able to watch it, but we had one of those weeks, you know, putting in quartz countertops in our kitchen. I bought a car, and we had a grandson's birthday today. It's been one thing after another. I told my wife I can't wait to jump into my car and just start driving tomorrow and just kind of get away from all the stuff that we've been doing.
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, there's a lot of things wrapping up. And as we talk about the weather back in Wisconsin, being now in a place that is home to a lot of snowbirds, you know, the snowbirds are chomping at the bit to go back to, you know, whether it's Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and then they see what happens last night with the weather, and it isn't exactly what they drew up when they thought about maybe staying, you know, down here until the end of March. It's getting to the point where they have to stay to the end of April. I'll fill you in. It's been the Rose Zhang show for the first two rounds. She was almost unstoppable with rounds of 66, 65. And Jenny Bay, who's a University of Georgia super senior, as they call him, a fifth-year senior, also played well over at Champions Gate with rounds of 69, 68. She shot 70 today. I'm only seeing three under-par rounds in that final round. And so they'll go to a playoff starting on number 10. The crowds for this thing, especially at Augusta National, terrific. Obviously, a lot of people, opportunity to see a golf course they seldom never see. But, you know, Rose Zhang, I think, Gary, you know, they started this to highlight women's golf. They started this event through the cooperation of Augusta National Golf Club, I think, to showcase amateur golf in the spirit of Bobby Jones. And tell you what, this is the only thing Rose Zhang hasn't won in her amateur career. She has the potential to be a needle mover at the, you know, professional level. And being that she's from the United States, you know, we haven't, you know, had this kind of golfer, generational golfer in a long, long time. You know, Lexi Thompson, maybe. But, you know, they're talking, you know, Rose Zhang could be, a world number one for a long time. She could be Tiger-esque in her impact. I think, you know, there was a lot of pressure on her to close the deal today, and that might have led to the slow start, but a chance here in the playoff to win it. And but I mean, you've seen this thing develop. You know, women's golf needed it. I think a shot in the arm. You know, you've got women's majors coming up on the LPGA Tour with the Chevron Championship very shortly, and I think this is a great showcase of the next, you know, generation of great golfers, and Rose Zhang certainly is at the head of that list.
Yeah, this is a wonderful event, Rob. And I, you know, I just I read a great story in Golf Digest last week by Joel Beal, who did a really terrific job talking about the future of Augusta National and, you know, where they go from here. You know, they've added the Asian and the South American, Central American amateur championships in recent years, and now the ANWA and the Drive, Chip and Putt. And Joel Beal wrote that some sources, apparently he has, must have sources in the club, but somebody told him that they're thinking about building another golf course, Rob. And that course would be, that course would be for the, they don't know if it'd be open to the public or not, but certainly it would be for the women who play in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. So a lot of things going on in Augusta, you know, the new TN13, there's going to be a lot of things, the ball, how Augusta's going to, what their stance is going to be on the model local rule for the golf ball. It'll be really interesting, Rob, on Wednesday when Fred Ridley comes in and Ridley gives his State of the Masters. He's the chairman of Augusta National and the Masters tournament. And I can't wait to see what he says about all these topics.
The last but not least, once the Augusta National Women's Amateurs decided, then they prepped the 18th green and the driving range and the areas around it for the drive, chip, and putt contest. And I tell you, you were the first to write about the two Wisconsin representatives, and they've gotten a lot of airtime with local TV stations picking up on the story. And then you look around the upper Midwest and the same thing. For whatever reason, this is a year that people have taken a great interest in these young boys, young girls that are getting the chance to showcase their stuff tomorrow in the nationally televised National Drive, Chip, and Putt Finals. Another event, Gary, that shows a great amount of foresight on the part of Augusta National and the other governing bodies of the game of golf that have come together to provide kind of this breakthrough platform for kids to compete. And it's not a 72-hole aggregate scoring type of competition. It is a three, proficiencies that these kids get to, you know, try to master each and every year. And each brings a different amount of pressure. You and I know what it's like to try to, you know, hit a golf ball a long way and but yet keep it in play. And these young kids have to try to do it, you know, to score points and to, you know, be able to put themselves in position for a medal. I think it's more than the medal in this case. Being able to do it at Augusta National sure has to be the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, Rob, we've got two, you know, Wisconsin juniors who are going to be competing. Alex Kim from Brookfield plays out of, he's a member of the Marquette University high school team. And then Adeline Lupton, who goes by the nickname Addie, who's plays out of Pleasant View in Middleton. And she's 9 years old. So she's in the girls 8-9 and Alex Kim is 15. So he's in the boys 14-15 age division. And it's the thrill of a lifetime. We've had a number of, you know, Wisconsin kids go down there and represent our state well. And these kids get to compete on the driving range at Augusta National, the 18th green, as you mentioned, where the putting competition is done. And, you know, there's a lot of players who show up early for their Masters practice rounds who kind of wander over there and take an interest in what the kids are doing. Usually there's four or five past champions in their green jackets helping to hand out the medals. I know Bubba Watson's been really big. He's really supported this event over the years. And it's just such a cool thing. I wish they had this when we were young. Not that we would have made it, Rob, but it would have been something to try for, that's for sure.
Well, it also conditions kids on how to practice those, those skills. And I think that's another thing. And, you know, when you watch your peers doing it and now that they get coverage on TV, you see how they go about, you know, pre-shot routines, even on a putt, even on a drive, and certainly on a chip. And just, you know, being able to, kind of see what a competition looks like for something that, you know, really we all ought to be practicing each and every, you know, week, if not day, before we go out and play 18 holes. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. And I'm sure It'll be the buzz of social media again. We've seen kids, score perfect scores on the putting proficiency when you can make the three putts, and which is not easy on that green from different lengths. So it ought to be good stuff. And it just, again, the start of a magical week, and hopefully the start of a week with that leads to better weather north of the border in Wisconsin as well. And leads to more golf courses opening. I'll be monitoring that as Gary's making his way to Augusta, and we'll also be kind of casting a watchful eye. We're supposed to have our first events on the high school boys golf schedule held this week. We'll see if that happens. That's another casualty of this lingering winter. Talking.Golf, sponsored by Golf Time Midwest Magazine. It is part of our a bundle that came to your mailbox with the Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, but you can also find it on Wisconsin.Golf by following the link on the right-hand side of our main page. It'll take you to the digital version of Golf Time Midwest Magazine, where you will find directions on how to enter our great golf story contest. You have until May 1st to enter, and the basics of the contest are this: 350 words or less, funny, fantastic, or of human interest. The lucky winner will be the most popular person in your golf group, because he or she will win a weekend getaway for six to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. You can go to our website at wisconsin.golf, or to actually enter the contest, there's an entry form on our sister website, golftimemag.com, and you can fill out everything you need to fill out to enter to win that weekend getaway for six to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. Gary, the college golfers, let's go back to last weekend. I think since I talked to you last, it was an eventful final round of the first Gallery Classic in the desert of Palm Springs. Mario Tiziani, for a while on Sunday, Gary, it looked like he was going to put a charge into the leaders, and he got that top 10 finish that he needed, not to get in the next event, because Paul Stankowski got the one berth that goes to the non-exempt guys. But boy, I tell you what, Mario Tiziani with a great final round, I believe it was 67, gets a huge dose of confidence under the gun in what really was a major championship-like venue. They had the greens and the fairways in prime condition at Mission Hills Country Club in Rancho Mirage. And boy, oh boy, what a great performance by Mario. Winds up tying for fifth with his brother-in-law, Steve Stricker. Jerry Kelly a little ways back in the pack, but I still think Mario is going to break through, and he showed he's got the game to play out in the senior tour.
Rob, as good as he played, that really doesn't get him anything, does it? Status-wise, into future tournaments, he's got to still do the Monday qualifiers or rely on exemptions, right?
It does, and it, you know, in the big picture, the money, although, you know, if you don't win on the senior tour, it's a little bit like the Epson tour that we've talked about in relation, you know, in past years to Casey Danielson. You know, if you don't win, you don't make the money to really vault up. Now, he did vault up, I believe, to 48th on the Charles Schwab Cup points list, which almost was, you know, double what he had been. He had a really slow start to the year in the events that he had played before that. But, you know, I think it'll give him great confidence going into either the Monday qualifier for the next event in Irving, Texas, in two weeks. And or, you know, it also enhances his ability to get more sponsors exemptions. He played the last two events, the Hogue Classic and the Gallery Classic, on sponsors exemptions. You know, a lot of people no doubt wonder, you know, how did Mario Tiziani get those? Well, you know what? He played really well last year and finished higher than a lot of guys who are also running for those exemptions, who played in far more tournaments last year than Mario Tiziani did. And I think that's, you know, a tip of the hat to Mario that, you know, he doesn't expect anything. And I haven't seen him, his name on the entry list for the, I think it's the, it's a celebrity event, kind of a knockoff of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am that's coming up next on the schedule. Tony Romo, among the celebrities playing in it, but I'm sure he will be there to try to qualify if he doesn't get in. And but there is no reshuffle, to answer your question, Gary. There is no, you know, nothing changes on the fly. It's that top 10 they give out to the non-exempt player, and there were three in the mix this last week in Palm Springs between Paul Stankowski, Mario Tiziani, and Harry Rudolph, who we talked about too a week ago after his great finish out at the Hogue Classic. So a lot of guys that are capable of earning that. He just didn't get it. And, we'll see if he can bounce back. And, you know, it's a really big stretch, as we talked about, I think last week, Gary, with, you know, the potential to, you know, likelihood that he'll get an exemption into the American Family Insurance Championship, like he has the last few years. And then he's going to try to qualify for the U.S. Senior Open in the Wisconsin qualifier being conducted by the Minnesota Golf Association at Troy Byrne. And you would think that, you know, hopefully he'll get into that and have another opportunity on familiar fairways and with a home crowd behind him to do what he did out in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I mean, tournament directors want the strongest possible fields for their tournaments. So I'm sure tournament directors have been paying attention to obviously what Mario has been doing, and that certainly will help him get exemptions going forward. I'm unfamiliar, Rob, with the with sponsored exemptions on the Champions Tour. Is it unlimited? Can you get as many as you want, or you can get?
Yeah, I believe you can get as many as you are allowed to, you know, be given. I don't think there's a ceiling on that. But I do believe there are fewer now available for regular events than there have been in the past, much like there are, instead of four spots on the Monday qualifiers, I believe now there's only three this year. And so a lot of, you know, some of those things have changed as well. So it's not as easy as it has been in the past, but, you know, Mario's won Monday qualifiers, played well enough to get into events and then, you know, earn his way in and then play well. So we'll see what happens here in a couple weeks. We should also mention too that he did get a putting lesson in Palm Desert from in Palm Springs from Steve Stricker, his brother-in-law. And I got to say, I saw a different Mario Tiziani, and it was almost, you know, on the greens, a lot more confidence on Saturday and Sunday especially. But he played well throughout the weekend. But you could really tell he had it rolling on Sunday, and I think at times was putting better than Steve Stricker even in that tournament, and came away with the T5. So. We'll see what the future holds for him. College golf has also been in full gear, and a win this week, a successful title defense at the Julie for UW Green Bay's women's team. And and then we've got the Badger women in competition this week at the Bruzy. So the Julie and the Bruzy. I love these names for these tournaments, Gary.
Yeah.
We need the Gary. We need someone to start the Gary.
highly unlikely, Rob. Highly unlikely.
Well, they.
But yeah, but it. Yeah.
You go, ahead. Go ahead. Okay. Well, they're into the second round at the Bruzy, and the Badgers with they got off to a pretty good start early this morning. Wound up shooting a 300 score. They were ninth after one round. They've slipped a little bit in the second round down to 11th. It's a 15-team field down at Ardmore, Oklahoma. A number of teams ranked between 17 and 42nd in the national rankings. And, again, we're kind of getting late into the season. If you can believe it, Gary, it's April 1st. By the end of the month, we'll be talking conference championships.
Yeah, this is, you know, as much as we've talked about the weather, and all of a sudden it's getting near the end of the spring season for these college and high school teams. And earlier in there, I meant to ask you, Rob, what happens, you know, we talked a little bit about a high school golf. What happens to all those teams up north when there's still a foot of snow on the ground and they might not be able to get on their courses for two or three more weeks? I mean, they're not going to have any kind of season, are they?
No. And it's funny you bring that up, because I was doing some schedule entry in our system, trying to get as many of the events entered so we know who's playing when. And I believe it's Rhinelander High School is going to be hosting a triangular at Trappers Turn Golf Course in Wisconsin Dells with Tomahawk and Lakeland High School out of Minocqua here in the opening weeks of the season. We've seen this with Brookfield Central hosting an event down in Southern Illinois. I'm not seeing that one on the schedule quite yet. They might not have been able to get the course, you know, coaches have to be creative, and you know, whether you get X number of competitions during the year. I believe at one point I thought it was 15. I might be off on that. But, you know, if you don't get to play those, you get them back in your pocket. So if you know someone at a course where you can, you know, maybe get, you know, two or three teams, you know, with five players each, that's 15 golfers. That's, you know, about four pairings. You know, you can easily pull that off, but it does take a lot of effort, and it obviously takes some travel. And but it's neat to see that Rhinelander is making that effort to at least get out of the you know, the snow covered tundra of the North Woods.
Yeah, you feel for those kids. You know, you look forward to especially seniors looking forward to their senior year of golf, playing tournament golf, and you know, your season is cut short. I mean, it's not a long season to begin with, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, a 3 or 4 week season. It's disappointing, but they'll figure a way, like you said, to get the most out of it. I'm sure these kids have been doing a lot of stuff indoors, which we couldn't do 30 years ago, but there's all kinds of options to practice indoors now. So, you know, hopefully they'll be ready when the snow clears and the ground resembles turf again.
The Bruisey for the Badger women is the next to last event of the regular season for them. They'll play at the Lady Buckeye Invitational in Columbus in 2 weeks. And then the week after that, they go to Pittsburgh, the Fox Chapel course in Pittsburgh, PA, for the Big Ten Championships, with the hopes of winning it to get the at-large, or get the automatic berth, or playing well enough to be in consideration for the at-large berth. And then same thing with the Badger men. They're starting to get deep into the schedule. They've got one event left in the regular season. That's the Boilermaker Invitational, April 15th and 16th at West Lafayette. The Big Ten Championships for them, April 28th through the 30th at Galloway, New Jersey, the Galloway National Golf Club there. And it's, again, one event left. They played decent for one round at Hootie at Bulls Bay last week, Gary, but then struggled just a little bit. We'll see what happens there. The Marquette men, they've got two events left after finishing 14th at the Valspar Collegiate event down in Palm City, Florida last weekend, that was just loaded. I mean, loaded with top 10, top 20 golfers. Yeah. And they were the best of the non-ranked teams, but after a solid start to that tournament, they kind of fell back a little bit. Marquette with starts at the Missouri Intercollegiate in Columbia, April 10th and 11th, and then the Red Hawk Intercollegiate in Pittsburgh, I believe hosted by Miami of Ohio, and that is the 17th and 18th. Their conference championship moves to Hardeeville, South Carolina, Riverton Point Country Club. The Big East championship will be August 28th through the 30th. We've seen Marquette at its best. We've seen them struggle a little bit. We've seen the lineup a little bit in flux, Gary. And I think we can say the same for the Badger men to a degree. Max Schwarz played the number one spot this last week for the Badgers, which was kind of a new position for him. He had been an individual participant in a number of their events. So obviously there's a lot to be determined internally and externally for the Division I programs in the state here over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
No doubt. And I think Illinois is playing right now, Rob, the men. And I noticed that Pearson Hunt was not in the lineup, so I'm not sure what's going on there. I think Illinois is, last time I looked, they were tied for first or in first place in their tournament. But I called up their lineup, and Pearson wasn't in it. So he's been in the lineup in just about everything, hasn't he, until now?
He has. And, you know, he played well at times, but just hasn't been able to finish off tournaments, you know, as dominantly as he starts some of them. And I'm wondering if there was a qualifying situation in that to try to give somebody else a shot. When I looked earlier, Gary, and it's the Augusta Haskins Award invite at Augusta, Georgia. And again, a number of the nation's top teams in the mix there, Illinois being the best at this at rank sixth. But they put a kid named Ryan Voice in the lineup. He shot 76 behind a 67, a 69, a 70, and a 71. So I think it's a message from Mike Small that number five spot's very much up for grabs. I personally think Pearson, you know, based on the, you know, his play compared to, you know, guys like Ryan Voice, who have been individual participants in events that, you know, where Pearson's been in the top five, you know, he's held his own. But, you know, certainly there's a qualifying component that a lot of times we don't see that ultimately dictates and determines who goes. We saw it a couple years ago with Harrison Ott at Vanderbilt, left out of the lineup late in the season after being there most of the year. And but yet he comes back his senior year, has a strong, you know, senior season, gets Vandy to the NCAA championships. I know Mike Small, after the disappointment of losing in the regionals last year, will no doubt is trying to make sure that everybody is laser focused in what lies ahead for them. It's always, no matter what level you're at, Gary, there's a different focus required to get where you want to go. For the Badgers and Marquette, it's to get into the NCAA regionals. I think for a program like Illinois, it's certainly to get the NCAA championships and win the Big Ten. And that requires maybe a slightly higher bar at this point in the evolution of their program than our in-state teams. But we'll see what that means for Pearson Hunt as we go forward.
Yeah, and you know, depth obviously is the key. Illinois always is five or six deep. And you know, the Badgers and Marquette historically have been, you know, four deep, let's say. So finding that fifth player, because you play five, count four, but finding that fifth player is key, I think, to postseason success, certainly.
It is. And so a lot to look forward to, and a lot to look forward to in a hurry on that college golf front. Gary, won't be long. We'll be talking about the U.S. Open local qualifying, which is typically the first event on the in-state schedule. But for now, we're going to keep you laser focused on Augusta National. We're going to keep you laser focused on packing for your trip to Augusta National. And I think we're going to get you out of here in plenty of time to go pick up the rental car to get you down to Augusta National. So I hope it's a comfortable and dependable vehicle. And we will catch up with you from on the way back home from Augusta a week from Monday.
All right, Robert. Sounds great.
All right. That's been Talking.Golf here on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf sponsored this week by Golf Time Midwest Magazine. If you haven't seen it in your mailbox with your copy of the 2023 Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, you can find it on Wisconsin.Golf by following the link on the right side of our main page. It will take you to the digital version of Golf Time Midwest Magazine, where you will find directions on how to enter our great golf story contest. The basics of the contest are simple. 350 words or less. It's got to be funny, fantastic, or of human interest. The lucky winner from a random drawing will be the most popular person around, because he or she will win a weekend getaway, 4-6 to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. So go to our website at wisconsin.golf, or more details are available at our sister website, golftimemag.com, where you can enter and actually go out and find the form to enter and write your 350-word or less essay on our great golf story contest. So check that out, wisconsin.golf or golftimemag.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.